from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
He's back! And now, it is 11th NBA season out of Washington State University! Number 11, Klay Thompson!
Klay Thompson with a catch down the lane, floats it up. It's good. There it is. Klay Thompson, welcome back. Thompson, the catch up top, has Allen as his defender, takes the big man to the right wing, crossover, goes right by him down the lane for the dunk. He dunked it. Curry picks up the dribble, feeds Porter. Porter chased out there by Allen, penetrates out to Klay for three. Got it. And once again, a standing ovation at Chase Center for Klay Thompson. 12,000 career points now for Klay. Klay Thompson to sit down, listen to the ovation for Klay.
That was awesome. I mean, I love our Warrior fans. I know they were hurting for me the last 2 years, and that was special. I mean, I knew it was going to be electric tonight. I've tried to visualize this moment for years, really. Gosh, it was worth every second. I'm just excited to kind of get out the way now, and I can get back in the rhythm of things because the last 2 years was different with rehab, and now, like a computer, I have to reprogram my approach to everything, and that's a blessing. So I'm very thankful for that ovation and the love they showered me with tonight, and I will never forget that.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, I think I speak for most Warrior fans, Klay. We won't forget it either. That was January 9th, 2022, after 2.5 years, missing 2.5 seasons. He came back against the Cleveland Cavaliers again on January 9th, 2022, and was his normal Klay self. He even dunked on somebody in the first quarter. It was an incredible moment.
Jared Allen, right?
I think he drove past Jared Allen and put him on a poster. Yeah. That's a pretty good defender there, too, Jared Allen.
And Klay was never even really an above the rim guy, even pre-injury. So no. That was all adrenaline.
It was. And there's so many emotions that go with being a sports fan and watching your favorite team win championships and watching incredible moments and record-breaking moments. And Klay has had all of those moments. But Dibs and Jason, as we welcome you back to Willard and Dibs, it's Grandy, Dibs, and Dumas with you in for Mark Willard today. For me, that's the most emotional I've ever been watching a sporting event. It's Klay returning to the floor, and it's different for Klay than almost anybody else, because while everyone loves the sport that they play, generally speaking, if you're a professional athlete, I'm not sure there is anyone out there who loves something more than Klay loves playing basketball. And to see, after 2.5 years of that being taken away for him, to see him realize that dream once again, and the way that the Warrior fans inside of Chase Center welcomed him back and showered him with applause, it is something, as long as I live, I will never forget the feeling of watching that in that moment.
I mean, pretty spectacular, and it was 941 days. And you think about, you know, that long, 2.5 years, and you think about, and as Jason's going through it right now with his Achilles rehab, and we talked during the break about the painstaking approach to it, the day by day, the minutia, whatever. And Clay did it once and almost was all the way back, and he had to do it again. Man. And so you're out 941 days. And the thing about Clay that always strikes me, and you know, Jason, you know him far better than I do, or than Mark does, having covered him. But it's just, it feels like he is one of us. Like he's a regular dude. You know, I mean, I know he's a spectacular athlete, son of an NBA player, and all the rest of it. He's a yachtsman, and he's a multi millionaire. But when you see him around town, you see him with his dog, you see him just being a person. He has a certain ability to connect, I think, with the average person. Like if he wasn't 6'6", you wouldn't think that he was this unbelievably spectacular athlete. But you know, he's Klay Thompson. He feels like he's just one of us. And so him leaving, that part of it is what hits me maybe more than the basketball part, is just Klay as a Bay Area guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've heard stories about him out in the Bay Area, and he does seem very personable. Of course, you know, covering him as a basketball player. Like I said, I've only been here 6 years now, so it's a little less than half of his career. My first season covering the team was the year they went to the finals and played against the Raptors. So I was here for that year. And I mean, that was a very weird year because it was Kevin Durant's last season, and everybody knew Kevin Durant was leaving, especially as the year went on. So it was actually kind of an awkward team to cover. They were never really in good moods that year. Just like looking back, Kev was always kind of a curmudgeon that season. He just was.
Well, there's the whole Draymond Kevin Durant beef that year.
And that him and Draymond got in that very public spat. DeMarcus Cousins was on that team. Not the friendliest, you know, he doesn't love talking to the media. It was an awkward team to cover. They were really good, obviously, and they went to the finals because they're better than everybody else, but didn't seem like chemistry was an all-time high. A lot of veterans. So when it's like a very veteran-heavy team, like they were dreading media sessions, especially All-Star break on. They were just dreading media sessions. So it wasn't that like you weren't getting great quotes and you're getting a lot of short answers, pushbacks. I can only speak for myself. Granted, I'm a new guy on the beat, not a new guy in the profession, but a new guy on the beat. I was constantly getting the impression that I was annoying people. Like just when I'm trying to talk to them and stuff, they don't want to be here. They're only here because they have to. Like I haven't gotten that impression with many of the guys recently, but that team, it was kind of, I did not like covering that team. Then you had two like COVID years, which was a little weird.
Yeah. Doing it through Zoom
a lot of Zoom stuff. But even those teams, like I enjoyed covering. Remember when Steve Kerr said, and he got misquoted, so it kind of the actual intent behind the quote got misconstrued, but remember when Steve Kerr said he almost enjoyed coaching that COVID team more than Kevin Durant? Now, he got misquoted in one of these aggregation accounts.
Steve Kerr takes a shot at Kevin Durant?
Yeah, like NBA Central, which which does it to me all the time. You just got to mute the tweet. But they, you know, picked up Kevin Durant, you know, takes a shot at Kevin Durant. That wasn't what Steve Kerr meant. But it was like I understood him because I enjoyed covering that first COVID year team that
even
was
they
terrible.
Won like 20 games
with Kai Bowman and Pascal.
Glenn Robinson.
Because they were just more of a pleasure to cover. Like Steve probably was like, this team is more of a pleasure to coach. Don't misquote me, anybody. It has nothing to do with Kevin Durant. But that's what I think he meant. And then the first year we really got out of the COVID stuff was the year they won the championship.
Yeah.
And that team was just a pleasure to cover. Like, great guys. JTA, Damian Lee, Jordan Poole was a lot of fun covering. Andrew Wiggins, you know, he's kind of introverted, but it's cool. Steph is always great. Klay was awesome once he came back because it was all like celebrations, really. It's like Klay's finally
back. He couldn't even hide his joy at that point.
Right. So that was a fun team. And then all the other teams since then have been really fun. So I've gotten to know Klay through that professional standpoint, and it's always been good. I mean, obviously, the last 2 years, there was a little more of that same type of energy that I felt covering that 2019 team because the chemistry wasn't great on that team. Mm. And obviously Kevin Durant, that whole situation of, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? He hated it. Him and Draymond kind of had that weird relationship.
Right.
So when it pertains to just Klay, the last 2 years kind of felt a little like 2019, not the team overall, but just Klay, because even we just were talking about TK, and you know, he's one of us with Odyssey. Like, I remember Tim, he was the first person this past year to kind of give a little pushback on Klay in terms of possibly coming off the bench, and Klay just kind of snapped at him.
So you're going to do bench me?
Yeah, there was a lot of that. So, you know, getting Klay up to the podium was not always the easiest. Now, this is just things I see firsthand. Hey, you got to do media. I doubt Klay was ever the first one rushing to the podium, but it's not a report, but I would say a pretty good educated statement based on being around the team that this past year was probably a little tougher than any year to get Klay to talk. So, you know, it's one of those relationships with Klay. I mean, I wish him the best, obviously.
Right.
It's I'm doing a job, he's doing a job, but that's where some of my comments stem from, where I say you can see the writing on the wall a little bit, because just the temperament up and down, never know what you're getting. You know, the whispers that, you know, they're trying to change his role and he's pushing back. So you can kind of see, when you look back at it, you're not thinking it in the moment in real time. But when you look back and
it
you remember,
all starts to make sense.
You're like, I remember that.
And putting puzzle pieces together.
Yeah. And I get the frustration too. And you guys were talking before about the Toronto series, and I just was refreshing my own brain with the numbers. And he played in 5 of the 6 games.
He missed game 3.
He had the hamstring. Yeah. He averaged 26 a game in that series, even though...
Which series is this?
This is the Toronto series, the one that you started on the BIA, the 2019 finals. And you actually made the call before that he was probably their best player in that series. And, you know, KD gets hurt in game 5, and then Klay famously goes out in game 6. And yet you still had a good chance to win that series. But Klay was unbelievable in that series, averaging 26 a game. So as we talk about his frustration, he thinks about like all he did for the organization, including helping them get one more title, the fourth title, and that now, you know, it seems like he's somewhat disposable at the end of it.
And remember that viral moment he had with Drake during that finals,
right,
when they're all coming off the floor, and he was like, "How you like that, Aubrey?" said something along those lines, and I was right there.
That was game 5 in Toronto.
I think that was like game 2. I think it was after game 2 because they lost game 1. And then they came back and won game 2. So I'm fairly certain it was after game 2. You can actually search that video on my Twitter. I tweeted that. It went viral. I think that was like my first viral moment covering this team.
Nice.
All thanks to Klay.
All thanks to Klay. So he always had that funny personality. And he's always been like uber competitive. Like, he wasn't really joking when he said that to Drake. He was, like, kind of pissed off because Drake was, like, kind of talking trash the first game, and he was talking trash most of the second, because for a while it looked like the Raptors were going to go up 2-0. I think it was Iguodala hit that 3 when they were up by 1 to put them up 4 with, like, you know, 1 possession left. That kind of put it out of reach. I remember it vividly. And, you had Klay chirping to Drake at the end of that game. So it was really cool. So covering, that was another moment that I always remember with Klay.
And then game 5 of that series, so game 6 obviously is when he tore his ACL, but game 5 in Toronto, down 3-1, Klay essentially...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The game winner, it was tied with like 50 seconds left.
They hit three threes in a row between him and Steph.
Yeah, and I remember the last one to give him the lead, kick it out. I think Draymond kicked it out to him on the left wing. Kawhi's coming out to close out on him. He gives him a little pump fake, one dribble
side
left,
yep.
Hits the three all net. And Steph was already walking down the floor the other way before it even went in because he knew that it was Klay wide open, a clutch shot. He's going to hit it. He hit it. Warriors win that game. They go back home for game six. And who knows, if he doesn't get hurt, they might win game six. They might go back to Toronto and win game seven. That's how good Klay Thompson was playing in that moment.
And remember, they won that game five with KD playing just 12 minutes because he tears his Achilles, and DeMarcus Cousins 14 off the bench in his brightest moment as a Warrior.
And that was when post game, the series wasn't over, but post game you have Bob Myers on the podium crying because KD tore his Achilles, and the next day, or next game, Klay tears his ACL. Man, that series was an emotional wreck for everybody involved. And the Warriors ultimately lost that one in six games. But it provided some incredible Klay moments, and there's so many to sort through in Klay's 13 years with the Warriors. But his time in Golden State has come to an end, as he is intending to sign a three-year, $50 million contract with the Dallas Mavericks. All right, we got full line. Let's go out to the callers here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dumas and Grandy in for Willard alongside Dan Dibley, as always, here on 95.7 The Game. Up first is Mike in Maryland. Mike, what's up? You're on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
We're doing all right. We're sorting through our emotions here with Klay. What do you got, Mike?
I mean, I just want to say that, you know, first off, what's up, Jason? How you doing, man?
What's going on, Mikey?
I'm doing great, man. Good to hear your voice. So my question to you, I know you already said this earlier, but you're not a numbers guy, but what do you think the next move is? Give it 2 years, 3 years. What's the positioning down the line for the Golden State Warriors? How are they going to get over this, and how are they going to get ahead of this? How are they going to make this a profitable experience through everything that's going on?
That's a great question. Well, I think first and foremost, you got to see where Steph Curry is at. You know, the fan base, they want this organization to maximize Steph Curry's prime. And he's still at the prime. Obviously, his best years are probably behind him. I don't think that's a controversial statement to make. But he's still playing at a level in which he can be your best player, and you guys can win high-level games if you surround him with the right pieces. So that's really, I mean, if I'm a decision maker, that is the route that I'm taking. How do we maximize Steph? Now, over the last 2 days, doesn't really look like they were maximizing Steph. Not Paul George. Obviously, Klay and Chris Paul leaving for nothing.
You turned down LaVine.
So, I mean, that's what I would do. I know their owner, Joe Lacob, is very much mindful of what he is paying. And he's probably looking at it from a standpoint of, I have paid big time money over the last couple years, and we haven't gotten big time results. And I am not the type of guy to count somebody's pockets and tell him how he can spend his money. Who knows? I'm not putting words into Joe Lacob's mouth, but maybe he's like, we've won four NBA championships. I need some relief on my pockets over the last 2 years. So that's really, there's only two routes you could go, to saving money and investing in the future, or trying to get the most out of Steph Curry's prime, which I think most people are hoping.
You're hoping for that, but I don't begrudge him for trying to get out of the second apron, and now they're hard capped below the first apron,
you
which is what, 178
or 178.132.
Thank you, exactly, Mark Grandy, with the exact numbers, and so that's where they're going to be this year. And I don't look at Joe Lacob making that choice and think, "Wow, you cheapskate," because he spent $400 million last year in salary and taxes, and they were a 10 seed. So I think that this was going to be the way they were going to go, unless they could have swung something for Paul George. And I also look at the landscape in the NBA and mainly just the Western Conference. And why would these competitive teams, these teams that are battling for Western Conference seeds with the Warriors, why would they go out of their way to help the Golden State Warriors by trading one of your best players to the Warriors? So that didn't surprise me at all that they couldn't land Paul George, even though they reportedly kept upping their offer. And, you know, Kuminga was a part of it, and Wiggins, or Kuminga or Wiggins, and Moody and picks and all these other assets, and still they couldn't get it done.
Yeah. So how do the Warriors get in this position? First of all, where they're at as a team and as a basketball organization, as a 10 seed, now you say bye to Chris Paul and you say bye to Klay Thompson. You bring in the D'Anthony Melton. That's it so far in terms of acquisitions. We still don't know exactly who will be coming back to the Warriors via the Klay Thompson sign-in trade, which is a three-team deal with the Mavericks and the Charlotte Hornets. If it is a player, it's not going to be a needle mover at all. But how did the Warriors get in this spot where they're at as a basketball team, but also where Klay Thompson was willing to leave and maybe take less elsewhere? Let's go back out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. John in San Francisco is up next. What's up, John? You're on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs, Dumas, and Grandy with you. How you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for asking. Really appreciate that. Sorry for puffing. I was just working out, and then you guys called my name. So, but this message is for Dumas. Since you work closely with the Warriors, and I've been a fan since back in Run TMC, Monte and Steph Curry, what really pissed me off was the fact that they were going to place Klay Thompson as a sixth man and play Brandon Pajemski as a starter. Not because I hate Pajemski, because I like the guy, but man, we're going back to playing small ball, which doesn't win NBA championships, let alone playoffs. And so why not, Moody? Why not shoot for bigger wings that play defense or centers? Because that's our biggest downfall, is the fact that we're too small. So I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, first and foremost, good for you. Sounds like you're getting it in.
I know.
In the weight room.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's a cardio day.
I actually tend to agree with him. And it's not an indictment on Brandon Pajemski. He's a great player. I was fully invested in the Warriors drafting him. I covered him in Santa Clara, and we were always at his games, Crown Four. So I've known about Brandon Pajemski. I've known his family way before the Warriors called his name. So I was all proponent of that. Yeah, give me that.
Yeah.
So
give me a couple of those.
So it's not an indictment on him, but I've been the biggest Moses Moody advocate. I don't think he's gotten a fair shake with the organization, for better or for worse. That's just my opinion. And I would love to see him get a bigger role and actually a fair one. I feel like Moses has kind of just been the guy, just do what the coach tells me, and whether it's in the rotation one day. I mean, even Steve Kerr himself, this isn't a hot take, Steve Kerr himself has said, like, Moses has been a casualty of this roster and some of the other guys. And let's face it, Moses is a little more like Kevon Looney in temperament, where he's willing to do whatever the team
needs to do. Not going to make a fuss about it.
Not going to make a fuss. I mean, Jonathan Kuminga, he's going right to the San Francisco Chronicle. He's going right to the Athletic. I've lost trust. So like, maybe Moody would have forced his hand a little more if he was like that, but the organization is lucky. Moses Moody, that's not in his personality. But I do hope he gets more of a chance this year to be a mainstay, because I see guys in Dallas and I see guys in Denver who I think Moses Moody is just as good and flourish. And I think Moses, remember, he was a lottery pick right out of his freshman year. From early high school, he was regarded as one of the best players in his class, McDonald's All-American type. So, like, Moses Moody is not a guy who, obviously, once you get to the NBA, obviously you got to put it all together and none of that matters. But it's not like he was coming to the Warriors without credentials. Anybody who has followed grassroots basketball and watched college basketball knows Moses Moody. He's very, very credentialed player.
Yeah.
So I do think Moses Moody can be a huge asset if trusted a little more and let fail. You know, if he has a 6-7 bad game stretch, don't bury him on a bench. Let him play through it. I think if you let him have that type of role on this team, maybe year one of that role, it might not be Klay Thompson, probably won't be Klay Thompson, but I think eventually you can get Moses Moody to be a really good rotational piece.
And maybe now you have to recalibrate the way you look at these young guys because you're probably not in the same championship window that you thought you were. And if you don't have Klay and Chris Paul is gone and maybe you don't add anybody else here over the course of the next week or so and you start to look at your own assets and everyone's going to have to step up and contribute more.
Who's going to be a backup secondary ball handler? Is it going to be Pajemski? But Pajemski's going to start. I don't know who the hell is going to handle the ball beyond Stephen Curry. And you like to have Stephen Curry off the ball a lot as well. That's when he's at his best at times. So that's a question the Warriors have to answer. Bottom line, if this team doesn't go out and make a major move, and we can get into this in a little bit, Lauri Markkanen potentially maybe on the block for the Utah Jazz. Depends what they want back. Danny Ainge, a noted stickler for making trades like this, he's going to ask for the world. If the Warriors do that, okay, that answers a question. But if the Warriors, for the most part, stay as is, what you guys are talking about, Moody improving, Kuminga improving, Pajemski improving, Trayce Jackson-Davis improving, that's about what the Warriors are going to need for this to even, you know, be a net neutral. Losing Klay, losing CP3, you're going to need your youth to improve to even be the same kind of team you were just a year ago. All right, time for a break here on Willard and Dibs. It's Dibs along with Dumas and Grandy here on 95.7. The Game. We're with you until 6. So another hour and a half talking Klay, how the Warriors got to this point, your Klay memories, what moment sticks out to you. We'll take your calls on that, 888-957-9570. And reminder, our Warriors offseason summit is a week away on Monday, July 8th on the rooftop terrace of Fremont Bank's state-of-the-art new headquarters. It starts at 2 with Willard and Dibs, and the rest of the crew stops by from 4 to 6. Go to 957thegame.com to reserve your free spot today. More Willard and Dibs next on 957 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.